Warrior Sound back at Oracle Arena on this Wednesday. A media availability is both teams in this final series. The Warriors and Raptors are getting set for what will be a game six here. Great sounding words as we're joined by Tim Roy, and really the range of emotions this past several days has been something we've all kind of been dealing with in many ways, but a sense of euphoria here today on this Wednesday as the Warriors are getting set for a game six and a proper send-off here at Oracle Arena.
Yeah, I think everybody's excited to be back here and to be back for one more time and to know this is the final time. You know, win or lose, this is the final time the Warriors will play in this building. And I just think that game five is going to go down as one of the best finals games in NBA history. It had everything you wanted. It had drama. It had anticipation. Kevin Durant coming back, KD going down, crowd reaction, the Warriors not folding, DeMarcus Cousins, who was not playing at the time, getting in the game and having a great impact for the Warriors. And then the fourth quarter, which was just unbelievable. Kawhi Leonard, who I think at times looks like there is some sort of bionic, you know, sense of him that he has the ability to control a game, and he basically wills Toronto on his own 10-0 run. They take the lead. They're down by six. Everybody thinks, oh, that's it. And then the Splash Brothers go on this 9-0 run. They pull it out, and Draymond with the block at the end. Just unbelievable, you know, what happened there. And I think the emotion of that game, it's going to be interesting to see what the emotions will be like here for Game 6.
I want to listen to your call one more time from Toronto at the end of that Game 5. It was really, really special.
Leonard catches on the logo, steps out, guarded by Klay Thompson, 6 seconds with 5 seconds. Leonard right side stops, feeds VanVleet. VanVleet, one dribble, get the corner, Lowry, it's blocked by Draymond. The game's over! The game is over. The Warriors have won. 106-105. Keep the lights on at Oracle. Dust those seats off. That old barn's got one more dance.
And with that, we're back here. And on a personal note, Tim, I will tell you, it's been really nice to walk around and have some moments with the folks who we've known over the years / decades who work here, and be able to come back and really celebrate the fact that we're all here together today on this Wednesday as we get set for Thursday's Game 6.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. 24 years I've been coming here to broadcast Warriors basketball, and You realize when you know it's going to end that you have this work family, this second family of people, not any, even just the Warriors part of it, but the people who work here at Oracle, the guys who park, you know, cars out in the lot and direct traffic there and always give you a smile where it's pouring down rain or 100 degrees outside. You know, the ushers and the security guards and the people that work the concessions and work, you know, the scorer's table and the media rooms and all those people that you know, and they know that they're loved, but you know, it's kind of the finality of it, I think, brings a bigger emotional component than just an everyday, you know, relationship. And so I think that it's going to be an emotional night for a lot of people, and I think it will be a special night, though.
I heard a stat that when they've closed buildings and there was one final NBA Finals game, it's only happened two other times, Pontiac Silverdome, where the Pistons had been playing, and also the Cal Palace, and now that opportunity once again here at Oracle Arena. So two out of the three times it'll have involved the Warriors in that regard, and really a special distinction.
Yeah, a special distinction, and a great way to send this building out, a great way to say goodbye to it, and hopefully it's a way to send the Warriors back to Toronto for Game 7.
All right, a couple of notes here before we hear from head coach Steve Kerr, and then also Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry, who joined each other at the podium for their media availability here on this Wednesday. We always get the chance to talk to national media folks who are here for these events, and this Wednesday, a chance to talk with ESPN's Zach Lowe of the Low Post podcast about his Oracle memories and just what it all is to be here right now. Why is it important to bring closure and have a great send-off in a building like we're going to have for this Game 6?
Yeah, Game 4 was weird because it's like it all happened. Like, oh, that could be it. Like, and no one stuck around at the end, and there was nothing special planned because you don't want to plan something special, because that means you're losing the series in five. So now, I was actually peppering some Warriors people yesterday. Like, wait, I know you got something planned. Like, tell me what the plans are. I don't know. I know. So they better have something, right?
Well, when you think of the memories that have been made here at Oracle Arena over the years, what are some that come to mind as being very vivid to you?
Well, most of the best ones probably were before I started covering the NBA. So I would give a lot of money to have been here for one of the We Believe games, or for Dirk throwing the chair, which is over there somewhere. Probably the first finals of this era. I mean, whenever they do the Warriors chant sort of organically, it's awesome. But the whatever game it was, I think it was game two, when Curry had like started crossing up Dellavedova and launching threes down the stretch and had like a kind of a Curry moment. That was like, because he's their guy, and it was against Delly, who was a thorn in his side, and he just sort of danced. And that, I remember that crowd being crazy for that.
Always cool to talk with Zach. And before we hear from head coach Steve Kerr, Tim, your thoughts about what you're hoping to see in Game 6 on Thursday?
I'm hoping to see a good spirited effort. I think the Warriors will do that. But it's really going to be the attention to details, taking care of the ball, knowing where the shooters are, making sure that Kawhi Leonard gets multiple different looks defensively, and he sees a lot of bodies. And I think it will be very similar to Game 6 in the Houston series. I think it's going to be all hands on deck. I think it's going to be a strength in numbers kind of a game. And whatever combination that Steve Kerr gets out there that is successful, I think other than the starting five, will be the one that he will stick with.
Tim, thank you. And with that, we send it over to head coach Steve Kerr on this Wednesday here at Oracle Arena.
Coach, tomorrow's the last game at Oracle, and obviously you guys would like to end it with a win, but regardless of that, what has Oracle meant to you over the years?
This has been just an incredible environment in which to coach and play back in the day, even when the Warriors weren't any good, to come in here as a visitor and feel the energy in this building. You could tell that the fans loved the game, that this was a basketball hotbed, and just the atmosphere out there, the energy, the noise. You know, over the last 5 years, with our team's rise, you know, combined with that organic energy that this place has always had, it's just been an incredible experience to coach here.
What's been your favorite memory from Oracle that you can remember?
My favorite memory was winning the Western Conference Finals in 15. We beat Houston in Game 5 to advance to the finals, and it was surreal. You know, we weren't sure we were good enough to do it. And, you know, the fans hadn't seen anything like that in 40 years. So that was, to me, when this sort of all started.
Okay, if we can try to hold it to one question, we can get around the room as fast as we can. Tim, on the right side.
Steve, Tim Reynolds with the AP. Many times in this series, you've talked about a need for better transition D, better half-court D. What was your assessment of the defense you guys played in Game 5, particularly on the perimeter?
I thought we played pretty well. We can always do better, but our guys competed like crazy. That's the main thing. Toronto's tough to guard because they've got a lot of passers and a lot of shooters. They put you in some difficult spots, but everybody who came in was prepared to play, and they were flying around and rotating. We did everything we could to hang in the game on the road, and we were able to pull it out. So we know that's what it's going to take here as well.
Ann, here in the center in the second row.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Ann Killian, San Francisco Chronicle. I know we're only supposed to do one question, but I'd love to get a comment from you on the news about Lindsey Gottlieb.
Yeah.
But also, everyone is looking to point fingers. You know, Bob the other night said, you can blame me on talk radio. It's like, who's to blame for this? What do you think about this whole conversation going on about someone has to be to blame for Kevin getting hurt?
I'll answer the Lindsey question first. Thrilled for Lindsey. Gotten to know her pretty well the last few years. She's visited our practices many times. I'm a transplanted Cal fan since I've had two kids there. So I'm disappointed for Cal that they're losing such a dynamic person and a great coach, but I'm thrilled for Lindsey. What a great opportunity and a great hire by the Cavaliers. She's a wonderful person and a hell of a coach. The second part of the question, I completely understand the world we live in. As Bob mentioned the other night, there's going to be blame. There's going to be finger pointing, and we understand that, and we accept that. This is kind of what you sign up for when you get into coaching, general management in the NBA. There's all kinds of coverage, judgment, criticism, and it's all part of it. So we accept that. The main thing is our concern for Kevin. And these last couple of days, just checking on him. Obviously, everybody feels horrible for what happened. We, as Bob mentioned the other night, this last month was a cumulative, collaborative effort in his rehabilitation. And that collaboration included Kevin and his business partner, Rich Kleinman, our medical staff, his own outside opinion, second opinion doctor outside of our organization. And Kevin checked all the boxes and he was cleared to play by everybody involved. Now, would we go back and do it over again? Damn right. But that's easy to say after the results. When we gathered all the information, our feeling was the worst thing that could happen would be a re-injury of the calf, and that was the advice and the information that we had. And at that point, once Kevin was cleared to play, he was comfortable with that. We were comfortable with that. So the Achilles came as a complete shock, and I don't know what else to add to that, other than had we known that this was a possibility, that this was even in the realm of possibility, there's no way we ever would have allowed Kevin to come back. So it's devastating, mostly for Kevin, obviously, but I feel horribly for Rick as well, Celebrini, who is one of the best people I've ever been around and one of the smartest, brightest minds that I've ever been around. He's devastated. Bob, the team, we all are. But we made the decision collaboratively with all the information that we had, and we thought it was the right one.
Bruce, back left.
Right here, Steve. Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star. After Kevin's injury, you guys came back in that game with big shots from kind of big game players. You're someone who's made shots at the highest levels of pressure in this game and who's coached guys who have made shots, stars and not, at the highest levels of pressure in this game. What does it take as a shooter, as a player, to, when the pressure is at its highest, this kind of back nine Sunday at the Masters pressure that this level of the series will provide, what does it take to be able to step into, take and make those shots?
A willingness to miss and accept the consequences of missing. Until you get to that point, it's going to be tough. So you have to go into it knowing that even if you are the best in the world, you're going to miss half the time. If you can hit half your game-winning shots, that's a hell of a percentage. So, but if you go into it thinking, "Oh man, I don't want to miss. It's a big situation," then you're defeated already.
Carith, here, right here.
Hi, Steve. Carith Burke, NBC Sports Bay Area. Going back to Lindsey Gottlieb and also Swin Cash getting a front office job with the Pelicans, do you feel like change is happening in the NBA, that women are finding entry points to the league, that's reviewing their resumes and recognizing their talent?
It does feel that way. Obviously, two big hires in the last few days. I think the women's game has gotten so much better. You know, last year's WNBA playoffs were so compelling. The Phoenix-Seattle series was incredible basketball. And I just think the talent that we're seeing, the level of play, is probably helping women to gain positions in the men's game. So it's great to see, and I'm really happy for Swin and for Lindsey, of course, and hopefully there'll be many more.
And finally, we turn it over to Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson together at the podium for what was a discussion with the media here on this Wednesday.
Hey guys, Trista Crick, USA Today. I would love to hear from both of you guys whether you actually think momentum is real, and if so, does it carry over from game to game, in your opinion and your experience?
It's definitely a real thing. It's just a matter of can you capitalize on it, you know, once the next game starts and lock in and focus on details and kind of see the adjustments the other team is going to make, especially in the playoff series, because that happens. They watch film, try to tinker a little bit, but momentum and just confidence in terms of what we're trying to accomplish every possession, every quarter, in order to win the game, it's definitely a real thing.
Mark on the left side.
It is for Stefan Clay, Mark Medina, Bay Area News Group. What do you expect the emotions will be like tomorrow, knowing Kevin's out and final game at Oracle?
I expect us to obviously come out and play as hard as we can. We're not even thinking about the future. We're just thinking about enjoying this last show at Oracle we're about to give our fans. And I expect our fans to be the loudest they've ever been, especially in the name of Kevin and, you know, bringing his type of spirit he would bring to the fight and the competitiveness. I know our fans will do that because we deserve it, but more importantly, Kevin does for what he gave this team, this organization. There wouldn't be banners if it wasn't for his presence, so we expect our crowd to be loud for him.
Mark, over here on the left.
For both you guys, Mark Schwartz, ESPN. I know you're trying to take something from him right now, but during this long series on this stage, what has impressed or blown you away most about Kawhi Leonard?
I mean, he's a gamer. He's shown that in, you know, he's a Finals MVP back in San Antonio Spurs days for a reason, and he just makes winning plays, and he's obviously expanded his game since then and has shown offensively how dynamic he is. He requires attention at all times. So even, you know, really good defense, sometimes he finds a way. But, you know, for us, it's just playing the long game, understanding he might have great numbers and whatnot. It's just a matter of can we, you know, get the stops that matter? Can we win the game? You know, any way that it takes. And He's just a competitor, and so we respect that for sure. And he's shown that again this entire playoff run that they've had.
What's the role on the Guardian? Kevin Durant Instagrammed that his soul was hurting after our last game. Have you guys had a chance to check in with him? How's he doing? How are you guys doing? And how much are you guys going to be playing for him come tomorrow?
I mean, this first 24 hours is not much you can say in terms of him going through the process, figuring out how the extent of the injury and what the roadmap's going to look like coming back. But I don't think much needs to be said about the motivation that we have or are going to have tomorrow. Like Clay said, to protect our home court, feed off our crowd's energy, play for K, and try to keep our season alive. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can kind of tap into for energy tomorrow. We'll be ready.
Michael in the center.
Michael Grange from Sportsnet. This would be for either of you guys. Coming out of that timeout in game five, you each hit huge shots. It's nothing new for either of you in terms of hitting shots in big moments. Did you feel that coming on? Did you think that you guys were about to do something pretty special? And just in the bigger picture, what's it feel like to be stepping into shots like that really matter?
I don't think we anticipated that to happen. We just kind of go out there and play. We're very in tune with each other, being that we've played with each other for years. So when we hit the open man, like Steph doesn't stop moving. That's how he got that curl three. Same with me. Draymond sacrificed his body, set a great screen. So it just comes down to having the chemistry we do with the team and just playing that ball movement type of basketball. And then I'm very on the defensive end, I think, is where we won that game. Just being able, just Draymond and Andre making huge reads to, you know, all world defenders. And then as far as stepping into those shots, we practice those every single day. So, and I know Steph's been doing it for 10 years with this organization and me 8. So we know what it's like to take those, and we can live with the make or miss. You know, it's just what it comes down to.
Dan, towards the middle.
Guys, also for either of you, Dan Wecky with the Los Angeles Times. obviously Kevin won't play the rest of this year, so that means the death lineup or the Hamptons five lineup won't be out there. How important of a tool has that been for you guys since he's gotten here, and what do you think sort of the lasting legacy of that lineup and the way that kind of changed the way teams played? What do you think that'll be?
I don't know much about the second part of that question, but just in terms of when we're healthy and we have all those five guys out there, the chemistry is solid because we don't, like, take over each other's spots on the floor, and we all bring something different to the table. And we work off each other really well. There's a trust factor and just a rhythm to it on both ends of the floor. And I think we all just enjoy that the pace that we can play with and the speed that we can show. So, you know, it's just one of those things that when you see those five guys out there, you know, something good's about to happen. And really, you don't know where it's going to come from, too. That's the best part about it, and we all enjoy each other's successes. So, it's a great lineup, obviously. I don't know the lasting legacy or whatever. Hopefully there's still more of that to come.
Over on the far right.
Josh Peter with USA Today. Steph, there's some video online showing your parents getting heckled pretty bad outside the team hotel in Toronto. In light of what happened with Aisha, the fan getting arrested for the vulgar comments and some of the aggressive fan behavior, what do you make of what's happened?
I think in terms of being in the finals 5 years in a row and being on the stage, it's hard to avoid those interactions with fans that want to kind of impose make their imprint on the series somehow, some way, especially with social media these days. So I think it's kind of stupid, to be honest, in terms of people camping outside our hotel just to yell expletives at either us or our family members or whatever the case is. But we handle all that stuff with class and try to ignore it the best we can. And if they get something out of it, so be it. But it doesn't affect us at all in terms of what we're trying to do and how we, you know, carry ourselves, as team, as players, and you know, people that represent us and our families as well.
Ann in the front.
Ann Kelly in San Francisco Chronicle. For both you guys, you're elite athletes, and there's a lot of talk right now about who's to blame for what happened to Kevin, if the organization pressured him, if he felt pressure from his teammates. I'm just wondering if, Clay, you've recently been injured, Steph, you've been injured in the past. What's your feeling about that kind of conversation about the blame game?
I mean, everybody has great 2020 hindsight, and, you know, it's 24 hours in a day, and there's a lot of different takes you can have on a situation like that. In our cases, and as well as Kay and knowing him as a person and behind the scenes, we all want to play basketball. Like, if we have an opportunity to play or a chance to play, we want to play. And that's just how it is as competitors, and especially at this stage. So I trust our medical staff and know Bob Myers has our best interest in terms of not just what we can do in this series, but long term and our overall health. So you see how hard he took it, you know, talking to you guys after the game. And that's really genuine and authentic. So you can waste time talking about the what ifs and this and that. Injuries are tough and they suck and they're a part of our game and they're going to continue to be a part of our game. But everybody, you know, putting their collective, you know, brains together to make the, you know, sound smart decisions, and you kind of just live with that because that's what we, it's what's a part of our game.
I agree with Steph.
Scott, and then towards the back.
Scott Osler, San Francisco Chronicle. For both you guys, the Splash Brothers, is that just a corny nickname, or is there something more to that? And also, had Kevin kind of achieved full status in that brotherhood or not?
I guess he didn't win enough finals MVPs, too. I don't know. I mean, I think he
is above and beyond a splash brother with his ability. I don't think me and Steph, we could practice as many jump shots as we want. We still can't rise up and shoot over any man on this earth. So I don't think we need to include him in the Splash Bros to validate his talent and his skill, because it's pretty obvious to the human eye how good of an athlete, great of an athlete he is.
Clay's just stingy. He wants that nickname for ourselves. He's not going to be giving that out to anybody.
Last one towards the back.
Jet Lu from the World Journal. Both of you guys, after Kevin's injury, his mother, you know, mentioned the people who question him don't know him. He has a heart of true warrior. In your mind, what kind of person is KD? Why do so many people question him?
That's just the nature of the game these days. It happens to the greatest athletes to ever play. Every athlete at his level has gone through it, whether it's been Kevin, Muhammad Ali, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, baseball players, Wayne Gretzky. They've all been questioned, especially in this day and age with the media and the 24-hour news cycle. There's going to be talking heads talking about his game and whatnot. That just comes with the territory. But we know who he is. We've won championship with him. I've played in international games with him. I've seen him every day in the gym. You don't need to question someone's heart or desire to play when you see their daily work and their resume. This man's won every accolade there is. So for these people to say that, it's really just irresponsible and stupid, because this man's been a basketball prodigy since he was 15, and his skill level is not attained unless you put the work in.
Thanks, guys.
Warriors, Raptors, Game 6 coming up Thursday night here at Oracle Arena. We're really looking forward to it. I'm Lawrence Scott with Tim Roy. This is Warrior Sound.